welcome everyone to this week's episode of Grapplecast. It's me, your host, Taryn, and today I'm joined by Dan, Joe, and Jamie. Hello!
What a boost. Yeet!
Indeed, hello.
I would say acknowledge my tribal chief, but I can't do that anymore.
Well, you can still do that. I can still be the tribal chief.
I can acknowledge Taryn Cameron, but I can't acknowledge Roman Reigns.
But he has to finish his story.
Is Reigns still not the tribal chief of the bloodline from a technical standpoint?
It's all about the final boss and passing notes to people in the ring or passing things to people in the ring.
Who knows?
Not saying what it is.
I've got a theory on that, don't you?
It was a ticket to Black Adam.
He'd be throwing out right back on the floor. don't be stupid. There ain't no rerun in the cinema of Black Adam. No one is even buying the physical film, so they ain't putting that back on in the cinema.
It's a ticket to All In Wembley, because no, they can't sell tickets normally. So he's giving them a free one.
How are we all, though? Are we fed up at wrestling now? Is that it? Are we all burnt out now? Don't need to watch any more ever again?
I've been watching wrestling solid now. Like, I know, obviously, listen to this podcast whenever, but technically tomorrow's Thursday and there is no wrestling on the Thursday. I'm all caught up. So it'd be nice to have a day off. And then I go SmackDown then on the Friday.
You've got Dynamite tonight. You'll have Dynamite to watch tomorrow because of the footage. The footage will be released. Don't tell me you ain't going to be watching that. You know you're going to be watching it.
I will certainly log on tomorrow morning and try and find that clip to find
it. It'll be on Twitter. I'll watch a clip of it on Twitter and I'll be like, are you for real? Come on.
It won't even be the footage of CM Punk that people think. It'll just be footage of the FTR and the Young Bucks getting it on backstage. That's all it'll
be. Just before we do move on to WrestleMania, I think the whole big thing about it is it's possibly looking to bring Jack Perry back into AEW, I think. Because they said it's to do with storyline. Obviously, Young Bucks and FTR are in a feud. And the only other thing that it could be used for is Jack Perry. So I don't think it's going to be anything to do with CM Punk. It's going to do something to have the Young Bucks and FTR.
They need a scapegoat, don't they?
And Jack Perry will be back.
They need that scapegoat.
Oh, he'll be back if there's real glass, believe me. He will be back.
Cry me a river, Taryn.
Right, so what we had this weekend then, I feel like it's all a bit of a blur. So we had SmackDown on Friday, we had the Hall of Fame, we had Stand
and Ring
and
of
Deliver.
Honor.
Well, we don't have that. We had Stand and Deliver, we
New
had
Japan
WrestleMania
Pro Wrestling,
Saturday,
Windy City.
WrestleMania Sunday, and Monday Night Raw. Hall of Fame, yeah, said that, yeah,
Slammies.
On Friday. Yeah.
Joe and I also watched NXT Level Up as well, and we watched This Is Awesome WrestleMania 2.
Whilst playing some WWE 2K24 in between.
I did play 2K24 as well, yeah.
I'm undisputed now, I did it.
Oh.
I've done the undisputed story on 2K.
No, does that mean you've platinumed the game?
No, because you've got to do Unleash, which is the female version, isn't it?
The female version? No one's
or is it?
That.
It's not a female version. No, Unleash is basically where you come up from the indies.
Oh,
something
right,
like
I
that.
See.
It's basically Cody Rhodes, like, you make your own promotion somewhere else and then get called up to WWE. Basically, that's what it is, or something like that.
I'll buy it when it's on offer. I do want to play it. I will get it eventually, but...
We're going to start a GoFundMe for you, Taryn. So
do it. Hey, go for it. If you can all get a GoFundMe and get me a physical copy, then not a problem. You'll be doing a
You can get a digital copy. I know how much you'd like saving money. Get a digital copy.
The digital copy costs more.
Oh.
Depends.
No, I'm a collector. I like me physical copies. Anyhow, we'll start off just by we don't need to go over everything in respect of SmackDown because it would be irresponsible of us to do that because of course we'll be here until next week's podcast. I do think it is important, however, to mention that we did have a little wager ourselves in case anybody has forgotten as far as. Just in case there was any type of draw or anything where people weren't too sure if we should have wore points for a particular prediction at WrestleMania, depending on how we went, we had a bit of a fail-safe with who indeed was going to be victorious in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. And would it come to anyone's surprise with me being top of the pay-per-view prediction league as it stands that I was indeed correct?
considering you don't watch any of the product all year round, you know, it's quite good that you got that one, right?
So what did we have? We had Dan, I think you went for Cameron Grimes, and I think he was about third out.
Yeah, he went for the moon. Head.
Joe Adondrade, was he in it? No, he wasn't.
No,
he
got no. So because Dragley got attacked backstage, and then he basically replaced him in the tag match, maybe.
That's it, fair enough. And Jamie went with Chad Gable because he was on drugs. So,
Was he in it, at least?
I think so. Yeah, both of because Tozawa was in it. So, oh, no, hang on.
No, Tozawa and...
Tozawa and Otis were in it, but I'm not sure Chad Gable was.
No, well, there you go.
Either way, 10 null points and void. To me before we've even started, don't you?
Null and void, two of the people weren't even in the match, so null and void.
Did we all watch either some or the entirety of the Hall of Fame as well?
We, as you know, me and Joe watch everything, so good. We of course watched it.
Yeah, that Paul Heyman speech was amazing.
The Paul Heyman speech was fantastic, and I will admit, I have only seen the Paul Heyman speech. I had to go out fairly early on Saturday morning and thought, oh, can I squeeze in a bit of the Hall of Fame? And because of how long the introduction was, Reigns and Heyman's speech as a whole, I only got to view that. So I do have the rest of it to watch, which I will do. So yeah, I can, unfortunately, I can only comment on that.
The rest of it was a bit, you know, you could skip it. Like, US Express was like quite nice because obviously they did the Bray Wyatt tribute with like the fireflies and everything. That was nice. Everything else, you could probably skip it, to be honest.
I thought Bull Macano's one was quite good, where she was talking about, you know, starting at 15 and then having to come up through the business and the respect that she had. I thought hers was pretty decent. And obviously the Muhammad Ali one with The Rock being given a title. You know, how do you know what that title's all about unless you watch the Hall of Fame?
Well, the People's Champion. Luckily, I did read about it, so I didn't know. Yeah, Bull Macano, she looked very good for her age as well. The wrestling certainly hasn't done, you know, hard on herself. She looks very good. Yeah, I'll get around to it. I mean, Paul Heyman's speech was just fantastic, you know, uncensored. They basically just said, you know, here's your chance, just go out and say what you want. And as long as, you know, you're not going to get us cancelled, the network isn't going to cancel us, you could have a bit of a swear.
Well, you know, they can cancel him 100 times, Taryn, and he'll come back
101 times, yeah. And I did like the reference to Sting and Rick Rude as well when he got the cell phone out and he was like, this is the exact one I whacked Sting over the head with when I was managing Rick Rude. So that was cool. And nice to see some, you know, legends in the crowd, specifically ECW1's Bubba Ray. I think RVD was there.
Spike Dudley was there.
Tommy Dreamer.
Marie was there.
Dawn Marie looks very good as well. Loving it. See, A's like a fine wine these women have. No, they did look good, to be fair. But I do want to watch the US Express one. I'm not too particularly, and no offence, of course, I'm not too bothered about the Muhammad Ali one or Thunderbolt Patterson. But yeah, I will get around to it. Was the US Express the last inductee or was it Muhammad? Liam Ivey?
Yeah,
Liam Ivey. Okay, fair enough. Just for the croc. Did the croc, I'm guessing the croc inducted her.
He did, and Rikishi was front row, Haku was front row, a couple other people were like front row part of the family, so that was quite good. Then you saw Naomi had a finger up, and Nia Jax had a finger up, you know, all the family representing.
Good, good. One thing I do like, and I know they've kind of done it, especially in the last couple of years when it's been in the arena, just like straight out of SmackDown, is they still have an element of storyline to the Hall of Fame. You know, the fact that, you know, you have Jimmy and Jay, you know, one very much supporting, finger in the air, one looking away, that type of thing. So, but then, of course, you have the blurred lines between fiction and reality with the fact that during Paul Heyman's speech, he spoke to Cody and spoke about his dad, whereas, you know, storyline they're very much in rather than a few together. So yeah, it was nice just for those little elements to be dropped in and out of. It kind of just makes something that little bit more special, I think. But yeah, what I saw was decent, but admittedly
what you saw, all 10 minutes of it.
It was about an hour, wasn't it? The first segment was about an hour because of Reigns and Heyman. But no, I enjoyed what I saw. I do need to get back to it though. Yes, you might as well, Dan and Joe, give us a brief rundown then on what happened with Stand and Deliver for the folk like us that have read what happened but are yet to watch any element of it. All I heard was that the triple threat match was a potential, maybe taking away the main events of WrestleMania, but certainly up there as one of the matches of the weekend.
It was. They had Obafemi, who's only had about 15, 20 matches. A Nigerian giant, obviously.
Omos.
He's a lot better than Omos. He can actually talk on the microphone. He's
He was in the Battle Royal, though, as we predicted. Of course he was.
He was. But yeah, the triple threat was great. You've got someone like Josh Briggs and Dijak. They've been wrestling each other for a good old 10 years on the indies. They know each other really well. They're solid workers. You know, both of them changing their character and developing it a little bit. But I think that coming out of that, like, people are going Dijak. Like, he's got a really good character. He's definitely on the rise. I think he's going to be somebody that will be called up in the draft, you know, that'll be coming up in the next few weeks. You can really see him rocketing up there. But Obafemi, you know, the United Challengers come out of the woodwork. You had Ivar challenging him this week. Overall, that was a really decent match. But we had Trick Mello in the main event. We also had Ilya Dragunov versus Tony D'Angelo. And we had the women's title match of Lyra Valkyria versus Roxy, which was a sleeper match as well. It was really decent. They had a match on the pre-show as well, Sean Spears versus Joe Gacy, which Joe Gacy got hit in the back with a steel chair by the retired Ridge Holland on the pre-show as well. So all in all, decent show. And of course, we had Julia, New Japan Pro Wrestling superstar, in the front row, which people wondered whether she was going to AEW, WWE, and it goes to show she's gone with a superior company. That was great to see. And she was sat next to Paul, to William Regal. So I think that'll be a really good sign-in and somebody you want to watch. I think she'll be an absolute superstar.
Lovely. How long was the event?
It's about 2.5 hours.
Oh, fair enough. Just
started at 7. But did it start at 6 and finished at 8? So they finished in time for the 1% Club. I was well happy.
Oh, good. Yeah, I usually record the 1% Club and watch it on a Sunday when I've, you know, got a bit of a fresher mind. I'm not too tired throughout the rest of the day, so I can concentrate more. I do quite well on it. I can usually get to about the 20% question without having to use me pass or get it wrong. I should really go on it, but you know what it's like. You go on these TV programs, then you die your death as soon as the cameras are
on. Who would go on a TV quiz show, Taryn?
Who would?
Who out of all of us would go on a TV
who
quiz show?
Who would? I know. Who would?
Taryn, yes. I've seen it.
Nah. I technically have, but yeah.
What's it called? The sport thing, that sport show. Or was it Get Your Own Back? What were you on?
Oh, no. Well, no,
50-50.
I was on 50-50, the CBBC game show. I don't know if you remember that, where it was two schools against each other. It was like inflatable.
God, well, that don't count.
Questions. And then, of course, I was on Soccer AM as well, which is a really good
Pointless.
Show.
So, not Pointless.
I can't remember
University
what
Challenge. Eggheads.
He was on it. Are You an Egghead, wasn't it? Is that what
Revenge
it was called?
Of the Egghead.
Revenge of the Egghead with CJ, who we don't talk about.
I was on Cruising with Susan Kalman.
Yes. Wasn't Joe as
Jamie
well?
Jamie was on, was it Sing When You're Winning? What was it called?
Sing When You're Winning, yeah. Sky Arts documentary.
There we go.
We've all been on it. See, listen to our loyal listeners. We all
it's just Joe.
Media
Joe, you haven't been on anything. You're going to have to catch up.
Oh, I have a feeling he may very well be catching up quite soon. me and Jamie did apply for Pointless and got accepted onto it, and then we just couldn't do it. I can't remember what the exact reason was. I think it was schedule or...
Yeah, that's all schedule.
I can't remember what it was. Because I was living in South Wales at the time, you were still north of England, and the way that we had to do it just wasn't viable. But yeah, our application all like got accepted and all that kind of stuff, and we just, yeah, we couldn't do it.
So you didn't get a Pointless trophy?
We didn't, no. In the end...
And we didn't go on to it. We would have won it all.
In the end, it turned out that our applying for the show was pointless. It was, because we just couldn't do it. Anyway, let's get on to what everybody wants to listen to, is how well we've all done on our predictions. And of course, a breakdown of both WrestleMania Saturday and WrestleMania Sunday.
Before we start, can we just skip night one, because it's terrible?
You know what? I don't think it was as bad as I thought it was when it finish, and I don't think it was bad. It when we're going to compare it tonight too, we'll get our individual thoughts on each night in a moment before we break down the matches and stuff. I did kind of come out of night one thinking it was all right, but I don't know if it was almost like the expectation of just thinking, now, well, we want to see the main event, we want to see the tag team match. And I don't know whether, to me, it kind of lessened. And that's wrong, that, you know, that's kind of like my fault for expectations of the night. It kind of just felt like it slightly lessened all the matches that came before it. But at the same time, going back and I've watched a couple of the matches back, it was very entertaining. WrestleMania as a whole, I have seen so many people out there, and I watch a lot of videos of different people who run websites. There's Wrestling News Source, NoDQ.com, who I've been, you know, following for the last 15 years, things like that. They have YouTube videos, all this type of stuff. And there's a chap called Aaron Rift who runs NoDQ.com and does videos on YouTube. And he has said it isn't recency bias. It is his opinion that that was the greatest WrestleMania of all time, honestly. And, you know, people out there will say, well, what about WrestleMania 17? What about WrestleMania 19? Things like that, which I agree with. But he brought up a very good point. He said, you know, we're coming straight off WrestleMania, without splitting it into Saturday and Sunday, just WrestleMania as a whole, as one event. He was saying, to him, it's the greatest WrestleMania of all time. And people were saying, well, that's recency bias. You're coming off a high. You're coming off a very good WrestleMania, or certainly a very good night too. Feelings are good because of what happened. That's why you think of that. And he says, there may be that to an extent, but at the same time, if you say there's recency bias, there's also like historical bias as well. You may be tied to a WrestleMania in the past just because it was the WrestleMania you remembered watching with a certain family member, or the only WrestleMania you're allowed to stay up for late at night to watch when you were a kid, or just the one, your first one you watched, or the one that you just remember the most because of a certain match. Let's say, for example, The Rock and Stone Cold at WrestleMania 17, like taking away maybe the ending to do with Vince, you know, that match as a whole, the build up, the promo video beforehand, people kind of almost remember that more than any other match on the card, but still say WrestleMania 17 was like the best Mania ever. So he said, you know, there is a historical bias to it as well. And I do tend to agree with him. And it kind of got me thinking that, you know, was this WrestleMania, we've had 40 WrestleManias now, was this WrestleMania the best WrestleMania of all time?
No.
I'm going to say, Dan's shaking his head, and we're going to go around everybody in a moment. And again, we'll, without giving specifics on it on each match, but I'm going to go ahead and say, to me, and it's a historical bias, the greatest WrestleMania of all time is WrestleMania 17 for me. Very much just going off the types of things that you know I've said. I love the stupid parts of WrestleMania 17, like the gimmick battle royal, just bringing back the, you know, the superhero cartoonish characters. That, you know, that's a big thing for me. I love Regal's match. You had TLC. You had, of course, had the main event. You had the first time Triple H and Undertaker faced each other at WrestleMania. You had Limp Bizkit play when it was
Motorhead as well.
Motorhead, when, you know, it was good that bands played back then, because it didn't take away, they were part of the show, it didn't take anything away from
maybe
the wrestling.
We had bands at this WrestleMania with Lil Wayne. What more do you want?
The greatest rapper of all time. But however, what I will say is WrestleMania 40, I've come out of it and I've spent a couple of days thinking about it. If it's not the greatest WrestleMania of all time for me, it's either the Joyed or it's a very close second. And it is certainly the best WrestleMania, in my opinion, since WrestleMania 30, for example, of the last 10 years.
I think you need to I need to ask the question in like a couple of months. You can't say that it's great WrestleMania of all time 2 or 3 days afterwards.
Yeah,
it's like coming out and saying the Avengers is the greatest movie you've ever seen just after you've seen it. It isn't. You just at the time, you're thinking, this is amazing. Like, yeah, there are, you can say, what are the bad WrestleManias? And for certain reasons, like 36 is bad, 27 is bad. You know, you go through them and say, oh, I'm not a big fan of these ones. But in terms of your favourite ones, I think you're always, like you said, going to tie a memory to it. But it depends on what you're categorising as a good Mania. It needs to have iconic five-star matches, nostalgia moments, key highs, key lows, you know, the crowd on their feet. The crowd weren't on their feet for that entire show. They were absolutely silent for the first
WrestleMania. The crowd at WrestleMania Saturday Please. And I said this to Jamie. I said, I don't know whether it was because the weather, because I know it was cold on WrestleMania Saturday. Maybe that.
How did you know that? Because Michael Cole was telling you 20 times.
Oh, Christ, it was like the weatherman, wasn't it? Even during the matches, they had it up on bloody screen. Oh, did you know it's this temperature? And with the wind chill, it feels like this.
Yeah, but we're like, nobody else uses their wacky way of telling the temperature. So we're like, yeah, it's 52, but it feels like 48. And it's like, well, we're from the UK. We tell the weather properly. So what the hell does that mean?
I think the weather must have had it.
It's like 10 degrees Celsius.
But it was night and day, the crowd. But to consider it should more or less be the same crowd, give or take a couple of people. It was night and day, the reactions between they were terrible on Saturday. And the thing that pissed me off the most about Saturday, it wasn't the fact that they were quiet. It was the main event with the booing of Cody and Seth. And I thought, oh, this is, if they're going to do this tomorrow during what could potentially be Cody's big moment, this is just going to shit all over everything and it's going to put a right damper on things. Luckily, they weren't. It was, you know, completely opposite. I don't know what happened. You know, I can always suggest that. But I think, I mean, we might as well start with you, Dan, because, you know, I just gave my thoughts on it. But when I'm using the example of WrestleMania 17 compared to WrestleMania 40, there were a couple of matches, for example, slight spoiler alert before we get on to each one, but for me personally, that didn't necessarily, you know, hit the right notes. I wasn't particularly bothered about the six-woman tag match. The Rey Mysterio and Andrade tag match, I could take or leave. The Pride versus the Final Testament was all right, better than I thought it was going to be, but wasn't, you know, amazing, for example. So you've got, you know, a few duds there. Whereas at the same time, you had a couple of duds, if you want to call it duds, from like WrestleMania 17, for example, like Eddie Guerrero versus Test for the European Championship. Nothing wrong with either talent, but okay. China versus Ivory, okay. But then I think the reason why I still hold WrestleMania 17 above WrestleMania 40 is because of everything else. Jericho Regal, the triple threat hardcore match, Kurt Angle Benoit, Shane versus Vince, TLC, Undertaker Triple H, Stone Cold. There's just so many more matches there with star power in. And even the ones with, you know, that weren't necessarily main event level at that particular time, Kurt Angle and Chris Benoit, but because of their wrestling and technical ability, the matches were still better than, you know, some of the matches on the card. So I'll come to you. Was it the greatest WrestleMania of all time? If so, why? And if not, why not?
No, I think I've partially answered it already. I'd say, no, it isn't the greatest WrestleMania of all time. You know, you said, you asked us lads a question after night one. You said, well, did you like it? And did you think it was absolutely amazing? I said, you know what, I enjoyed it, but it was missing elements. The nostalgia element in night one was missing. There was no, oh, look, so-and-so is backstage, you know. They had all these people there for the whole thing. Oh, look, Lita's backstage. In the pre-show, like, they showed Trish Stratus being interviewed, or what would you think is going to win the opening match and stuff. But, you know, there's nobody ringside. You know, you usually have, like, guest commentators or somebody here, there and everywhere. It was kind of, night one was a bit, like, it was a B, night one. It was all right. The main event really did well. It was the second longest, you know, match in WrestleMania history in night one. But then night two absolutely saved it. All in all, it was one of those ones where you didn't want to fast forward any of it. Every single match hit home. I know you said that you didn't enjoy the match with the Final Testament and the Pride, but I thought it
was better than I thought it was going to be.
And we'll, it was, and we'll, the lightheartedness. Yeah. Like, oh yeah, I think if they didn't put Bubba Ray Dudley in it, I don't know, we'll break it down in a minute, but without the inclusion of the legend in there and the fun spots, it, you know, you were missing that nostalgia element, and I think that really did inject it. I could have done without Triple H coming out night one. I could have done without Stephanie McMahon coming out night two. You know, like you said, WrestleMania 17, for example, you have all of those key matches. You've got the things happening backstage, you know, the celebrities in attendance, the bands that are performing. You know, the band that performed for Rhea Ripley, they had to really explain who that band were because nobody cared. Lil Wayne, they paid millions of pounds for him and he was dreadful. You know, Vanessa Hudgens would have done a better job coming out and singing. You know, she could have sung High School Musical with Jay Uso coming to the ring. That would have been a lot better.
Better than the greatest rapper of all time.
100% a lot better. It was okay. Like night two, I know we'll go through our ratings. I love night two a lot better than I like night one. Is it the greatest WrestleMania of all time? No, definitely not. But did I really enjoy it? And you know, did it make me want to watch Raw Wrestling, see what's going to happen on the Raw after Mania? 100%. You know, I'm not going to stop watching anytime soon. So did exactly what it needed to do.
Joe, was it the greatest WrestleMania of all time?
I agree with you. It's up there, like two or three, but is it the best of all time? I don't know. I agree with Dan. Night one was, you were just waiting for the main event and like, what's the stipulation going to be? We all kind of knew what the stipulation was going to be. Like all the other matches were like, just okay. There was a couple of like surprises in there, like a couple of good ones. But like night one was just meh. I would say night one was like C, like average. And then I would say night two was like B plus A nearly. So like night one was just like the appetizer, like the palate cleanser, like, okay. Like you get end of night one, you're like, okay, it's going to be, you know, blood. We'll break down. It's going to be like Bloodline Rules. Is it going to go the way we all going to think it's going? Then you go night two, it's like the redemption story of like, okay, it's not what we think it is. It's a new direction. It's a new vision. And, you know, night two definitely saved it. But night one, there was a couple of, like, good matches in there. But as you said, there was a couple of just matches in there. Like, why is this match on the card? This big, like, it's just there for a filler kind of thing.
Jamie, WrestleMania 40. Was it the greatest WrestleMania of all time?
And that would be in Saudi Arabia in a few years, the greatest WrestleMania ever. no, I wouldn't probably even say top five, to be completely honest. It's not okay. Top five.
What's the love it?
Well, my favorite WrestleMania of all time is WrestleMania 14. It always has been, it always will be. I don't think anything will ever. It's the birth of the Attitude Era. It's Mike Tyson, you had Kane Undertaker. You had the New Age Outlaws versus Cactus Jack and Terry Funk in the dumpster match. Like, it was just a... You had Triple H and Owen Hart on the undercard, light heavyweight titles. You had Sonny with the LOD. It was just The Rock and Ken Shamrock in the Continental title. It was a great card. And like I said, it's the birthday attitude here. It's the one that sticks quite close to my heart with everything with that. And obviously Mike Tyson in there. And Shawn Michaels, one of my favourite wrestlers of all time. Stone Cold, one of my favourite wrestlers of all time. Man. So yeah. And then obviously, yeah. Night one, I think, as Joe was probably saying, I know we're not doing our grade yet, but it is more closer to a C. Night two is probably a B plus.
All right, fair enough. Right, let's have a look at each night then. Let's have a breakdown of each match and let's see how we got on with our predictions. Important to note that we had Triple H come out to kick off the show. And yeah. I don't know if it's the same as you guys. I thought, oh, what's he going to say? Who's
this
he going to bring
Paul
out?
Era. This is the Triple H era. You know it's the dawn of a new era, Taryn.
I do. I've been told enough. Professional wrestling, not sports entertainment anymore.
He's got his voice as well there now, together forever on the
the new intro, the new signature. Yeah.
But it looks like the Avengers.
It does. Well, me and Jamie said WrestleMania Saturday. Last year's WrestleMania with Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns was Infinity War. This was Endgame, you see. So that's how they've done it. Triple H just came out and said, yeah, thanks very much for coming. That is WrestleMania. Enjoy your rest of your night. That's kind of what it was. Opening match, which I think everybody expected to be opening match, was, of course, Rhea Ripley defending the Women's World title against Becky Lynch. I'll kick things off with this. It was all right. It was a solid enough opening match. Something, and I can't quite put my finger on it yet, to me just didn't fully hit that. I certainly didn't come out of it thinking, wow, this is Rhea Ripley Charlotte Flair from last year.
Taryn, she walked through a book. What more do you want?
Great entrance, though, by Rhea Ripley with the band playing.
What's the band's name?
Ed Zevers, then. And I can't remember.
Is it something by colour or something?
Oceanless in White.
We'll find
Ocean,
out.
Ocarina of Time.
Ocarina of Time. We'll call them Ocarina of Time. it wasn't as good as last year's women's match with Rhea. Something was slightly up. I just don't feel like they gelled together slightly.
Well, Becky was ill. She had a I don't know what their temperatures are. A fever of 104 or something.
Yeah, they did say that a few times, didn't they? So maybe it was just as something as simple as that. And if it was, you know, we can't hold that against us because it wasn't a bad match. It was a good match. It just wasn't as good as perhaps I thought it might be, or as good as last year's.
That finish where she hit the riptide into the turnbuckle and then another riptide in the middle of the ring. Dominant three count center of the ring. I thought it was absolutely brilliant for a finish.
Well, we all went with Rhea, so you'll be happy to know we all get a point. But anybody got anything specific they wanted to say about the match?
No, I agree with what you said, Saris. They're definitely something off with Becky. Like, you just tell them, like, it wasn't. Yeah, there's definitely something off about it. Yeah.
But she had a book. She had a book on her attire, and she walked through a book.
It was her book, was it not?
It was.
Did she not like read out? Yes, exactly.
I asked Joe if he's going to, because Joe likes reading the wrestling autobiographies, and he read the Drew McIntyre one, which came out a couple of years ago. So, Joe, you're going to get this one? He's like, yeah, probably when it goes in the charity shop in about 6 months, you'll read it then.
What did we think then of the ladder match? Because that was the next match. So, of course, we had, and the stipulation was more or less confirmed. You know, both the titles were on the line. If they were going to be split, they were going to be split, Raw and SmackDown. I'll come to you first, Dan. But what did you think of the ladder match? Not necessarily the strongest ladder match we've seen at Mania, but entertaining.
I love a good ladder match. It got everybody involved. The wooden ladders were making me laugh. You know, they went through the one. You saw sawdust coming out of it. You saw Priest trying to go up the other one.
Well, that the female referee, I forget what
Jessica
she's
called.
That's it. Yeah, was basically telling him, don't climb up there. And he either wasn't listening or couldn't hear her because of the noise.
But no, I loved it. I thought the sort of spot where A Tech Down Under got the SmackDown titles, and then they were celebrating like they won the match, but then they kind of were looking around going, oh right, what do I do now? Do we come down and try to go straight for the Raws? And they kind of just got thrown off through some ladders, and then they just were written off for the match. So it would have been better if they said, oh, once you've retrieved one, you're out of the match. I think that would have been a lot better, because they would have celebrated at the rampway. It would have flowed a lot nicer. But all in all, absolutely loved it. I think it gave R-Truth and The Miz their flowers. They're absolutely over on Raw, teaming up with the man that you can't see.
Yeah.
All in all, I really loved it. And I think after we saw the Becky Lynch, Rhea Ripley, which was really like in your face, storyline driven, who's the best woman, this was lighthearted, got a lot of people on the show, and it gave a spotlight to a lot of people who've been working 10, 20 plus year careers to try and get on the stage WrestleMania, and they finally had their moment.
And of course, Joe, we have had an R-Truth moment as well, where he was trying to tag into the match.
Yeah, as Dan said, it was definitely lighthearted, but he tried to tag in and then he tried to pin, I can't remember, he tried to pin somebody in the middle of the ring, and then the entire arena counted to three. I liked this match. As Dan said, it was fun, it was entertaining. You know, we all predicted Awesome Truth. I know we're going to get onto the predictions later, but like, even like A Town Down Under winning, like I wasn't expecting that them to win, but I'm not mad at them winning either. And like the entrances were cool, like DIY coming out as DX. I thought that was quite funny. So yeah, very enjoyable.
Are you ready?
And Jamie, we had your favourite tag team make an appearance beforehand to build up the match with the promo with Pretty Deadly. I know you were very impressed with that.
Yes, boy.
Exactly what Dan said. Yeah, there you go. yes.
Did you know he was? Did you know one of them was on First Dates, the Channel 4 programme over here?
Which one, Elton Prince or Kit?
I don't know.
He has no idea. Elton Prince is like the blonde-haired one in me.
Yeah, I have no idea. One of them was on Channel 4's First Date and didn't get a date. He got rejected. They didn't want to see him afterwards. But who's laughing now? He was on the promo for the tag match. He wasn't in Albania.
Well, the one dates Kelly Kincaid, which is a backstage commentator on NXT, and the other one goes out with Stevie Turner, who's women's wrestler on NXT. So they branded well.
What a time to be alive. But no, I agree. I mean, I would discount to what you said before about if you win one title, you get eliminated from the match of Judgment Day. We're defending both titles. So if they picked one up, they would have to leave the match. It's a bit unfair. But it was very awkward when they won, because like I said, he just stood there going, oh, yeah, we got it now. And it was just a bit like, oh, yeah, cool. So I didn't think it flowed as nice, maybe because there was just too many teams. They didn't know what to do with all of them. They all had their little moments throughout, but it was kind of when you have the triple threat ladder matches, you've got three teams, you've got six people, it's a little more manageable for people to come in and go. Like, someone would get thrown out the ring and be out of the ring for 10 minutes. It's like, all you did was get thrown outside the ring, you didn't even take, like, a hard shot, but you just got to chill on the floor for 10 minutes. Yeah, fine, why not? It didn't make sense. It was just, there was too many people. It just felt a bit clusterfucked. But I'm happy R-Truth and Miz won the title. We knew it was happening, and he finally got his moment, and Miz is a champion again, so.
They are awesome. Indeed. Well, they are both, they are the Raw Tag Team Champions. All four of us picked the Awesome Truth. So all four of us get a point in respect of that. But then none of us get a second point. Because, of course, we have Theory and Waller pick up the SmackDown.
We weren't even supposed to be in the match. They were supposed to get replaced.
Well, exactly. I think Joe went for DIY. I went for DIY. Dan went for Newcastle Republic, who did look decent in the match, to be fair. And Jamie said, oh, the Judgment Day would retain at least one of the belts. But no.
I also did say, though, if they didn't retain, he would cash in. Just saying. I did mention.
But unfortunately, that wasn't there. I think Dan, or sorry, Joe, should I say, already noticed, because I can see he has liked, reacted to what I've just seen on online. But interestingly enough, our new SmackDown Tag Team Champions have put out some exclusive tweet. I know Jamie will be very happy with this. They have tweeted to say, Grayson Waller has said, later today, I'm going to share exclusive security camera footage of myself and that Theory One beating up the entire WWE locker room. It's time the world knows how tough the SmackDown tag champs really are. So there you go. That's the footage we really want to see. So congratulations to our new SmackDown tag team champions. Yeah, a point each for everybody on that. Well done. Rey Mysterio and Andrade then versus Santos Escobar and Dirty Dominic Mysterio. For me, meh, all right, but the wrong. I know who went for this. I think I have a feeling Dan might have done. Who did? Let's have a look. No, we didn't. It was Joe. So Joe is the only one that gets a point on this because we all of us went for Team Dom. And Joe said no team LWO. So well done, Joe.
How are we meant to know that Mr. Kelso, or whatever his name was, and his little other friend from the Philadelphia...
When
and Lane Johnson.
Whoever they
offensive
are.
Linesman and center.
Not only did I have no idea who they were, I didn't know Louis Riksamit.
Everyone knows who Jason Kelce is, and Lane Johnson's like a great offensive lineman for the NFC's Philadelphia Eagles.
I got quite excited when they came out with their masks, so because I didn't even think for a minute, oh, these will be the football players that have been rumoured, because I just saw two beefed up big guys. I was like, oh my god, who's this? Look at this reaction. I don't recognise, well, not that I really watch NXT, but I was like, I don't really recognise these from NXT. Who's this returning or whatever? Oh, it's two chaps I've never heard of before that wear a padding when they fall over into each other. So yeah, it did nothing for me, as did the result of the match did nothing for me. To me, it made more sense for Dom to get one over on Ray this time round, so there's kind of like a rubber match between them. And of course, because of that, there was no Carlito turn yet anyway. I'm sure we'll eventually get to that. But
if we knew Andrade was in the match, we probably would have all gone for Andrade and Ray, because I don't think there was any way Andrade was going to lose at WrestleMania on his return.
So apologies if anyone can hear anything. One of my cats has stood on one of my son's toys and it's making the worst noise ever. So if you can hear anything, apologies. But Joe, you were the only one to go with the correct result.
Yeah, I just thought the LWO deserved like the more of the win because, you know, Legado have been like kind of like the he lit it up on SmackDown. But yeah, I wasn't expecting Andrade to enter the match, but I thought he had a really good show in WrestleMania. Yeah, it was really. It was just all right. It wasn't amazing or anything, but it's okay.
And he had Selena Vega in his corner once again. Andrade did.
Did indeed. Who looked rather good. That's all I'll say. Rather nice. All the women look rather nice in this show. As we get on then to the match, which I don't know if any of you guys know. This is probably exclusive news, actually, because I don't think anybody's actually fully aware of it. I'm in the know because, well, I don't even need to be told because it was quite obvious. The following match between Uso Brother 1 and Uso Brother 2 was actually put together and booked by the Young Bucks. Because all they fucking did in this match was super kick each other. It was the biggest letdown of a match.
Terrible.
I just
it was no yeet.
It was absolutely no yeet. It was 1 to 2 Dave Meltzer stars, and it really dragged the event down in the sense that, I mean, they're a fantastic tag team, but if this is what they do, I mean, you can't necessarily blame them because somebody put this match together, somebody booked it, but Christ almighty, all they did was super kick each other into the in the face. There was nothing else to it. I wasn't happy. I wasn't sports entertained, and I didn't really give a shit who won at the end. I mean, luckily, I was right in respect of, you know, the actual prediction side of things, as were all of us, apart from Dan, unfortunately. You said old Jim Bob. But, yeah, does anybody have any comments on that? Was anybody as disappointed as me? It was just terrible.
I can't remember. Yeah.
Like, There's one thing.
This could have had, like, the best storyline ever. Obviously, like, they'd be part of the Bloodline story, and they could have gone back, like, so far back into the history, like, oh, yeah, we were, like, the tag team champions for, like, this many days we were main event in WrestleMania. They could have gotten so much more into storyline, but I think the Bloodline storyline, the Rock and Cody story and the Rock and Roman story has taken up so much TV time. It's like made a lot of like the other matches on the WrestleMania card. I've not had a lot of time to like build the story, and this is one of them where it should be brother versus brother. You should be really invested in who wins. It's kind of had like a couple of like vignette promos of like this history, but like no other build up to it. It's like this entire match was just secondary to Bloodline storyline.
And it says something when all you can remember from it, if anything, is them just continuously super kicking each other in the face.
Yeah.
I am not my brother's keeper.
No, when I am not sports entertained, and I am moving on to the next match, because it's like when your parents say, I'm not angry, just disappointed. I was disappointed in the match. So much so that the next match was actually better, and I had no way was it going to be better before I thought that. And it was the 6 women tag team match, Cargill, Bella, Naomi against Damage Control. And it wasn't a spectacular match by any stretch of the imagination. We all know what it was really there. It was there to help Jade and, you know, to make her look strong. But it was actually quite entertaining. And I thought all 6 women came off looking very good. And yeah, it was better than the Uso match. It was better than the Uso match.
It's the most I've ever seen Joe watching a Bianca Belair match, to be honest. He actually seemed like he's enjoying a Bianca Belair match for a change.
Well, we all got a point, Jamie. You'll be happy to know that.
Well, a storm is coming. Not being able to go roaming in the box.
I know we keep making Marvel references, but it was like the Avengers were assembling on their entrance. It was absolutely brilliant.
The entrance was very good. They all look like $1 million in regards to that. And, you know, we know they're pushing Jade Cargill to the moon. And for the limited showing that she had in the match, it was more of a showing than she had on Monday Night Raw.
She's very green, isn't she?
She is very green. I mean, for anyone who doesn't know, on the Raw after Mania, she faced Chelsea Green and came out and
It was a squash match.
It was 2 moves. It was I can't remember what move it was, and then she just hit a finisher, and that was it. So she's very much still in development in regards to that, because AEW can't train wrestlers. We've already established that, allegedly. She's learning the WWE way, Jamie. Don't worry. But yeah, it was there to make it look good. It was all right. It was better than you so much. Penultimate match of the evening then of night one was the Intercontinental Championship between Sami Zayn and Gunther. And yeah, Jamie, well, it was a great match, Joe, but Jamie, what's going on with your boy Sami Zayn? It's as if he defeated Gunther, as if.
There's only one man that could do it. Win, Rocky, win. He had it. He knew it was happening. It was Rocky 4. And then he had the Rocky 3 bit as well with Chad Gable saying, you know what, we do this, you owe me a favour.
You owe me a favour, yeah.
It was a nice little story to it. But, you know, like, you look at everyone that Gunther has beat, and it was the heart of Sami Zayn that did it. He didn't even have he didn't even have a plan for WrestleMania. He just found any way to get on that card, and now he's the Intercontinental Champion. He's finished Gunter's 667 day reign or whatever it was.
666.
Yeah, 666. That's what I said.
666. So yeah, you made a good point, Dan, when I said that I wasn't overly impressed or happy that Gunther dropped the title to Sami Zayn. And, you know, you said, well, it's better that it's come off him and it kind of like goes to now push and elevate somebody else with it. And I suppose my only argument to it was, well, hasn't Sami Zayn been his continental champion like three or four times before and anyway, or at least a couple of times? Yeah. So I think I'd have preferred it if it was somebody's first reign, maybe like a I'm not saying it had to be Chad Gable. Look, I know a lot of people have liked it.
Maybe
say
like
that,
a Bron Breakker would have been.
Yeah, I'd have just personally liked it. I don't necessarily have an issue with Gunther dropping the title at this stage. You know, he's had it for that amount of time. He's the record holder, and it was Mania. But perhaps if it was somebody dethroned him to win their first Intercontinental title, when the Intercontinental title hasn't really done much to elevate or push Sami in the previous three times. So who's to say it's going to win the fourth time? And I'm not saying that in a negative way. I'd have maybe liked to have seen it more like that.
But it frees up Gunther now. You know, we're coming up to Bash and Berlin now. We're also coming up to King and Queen of the Ring. I saw an interesting theory that maybe Gunther could win King of the Ring, and that gives him a title match for Bash at Berlin.
Did we all go for Gunther, by the way?
We didn't.
I went to Chad Gable, though.
Dan said Chad Gable had to go into the match and win, and Joe went for Sami Zayn. So Joe's been right on a couple of these when a couple of us haven't. So,
he was bottom. He has to finally get up there, doesn't he?
Well, we'll move on to the main event now. We all know who won, but we'll have a quick chat about the match itself now. But just for the purpose of the predictions after night one, I just tally this up now. So including this main event, we have Dan on 15, Jamie on 17, Joe on 18, and I'm on 19. So Joe has really come through the storm and he's now second place. No, there's only like a point in it all the way through. But yeah, main event time. Will it be Bloodline rules for the main event of night two? A thoroughly sports entertaining tag team match that, whilst predictable, I don't think anybody cared, Joe.
No, it was very entertaining. Like The Rock basically taking on the Vince McMahon role. Like, if you disqualify me, you're fired. So it's basically a Bloodline rules match without being a Bloodline rules match, but they might as well have just called the stipulation match and no disqualification match, because that's pretty much what it was.
You said you carry on counting and you're fired.
Yeah, like fuck around and find out, basically. You're like, you know, like if you, you know, as you said, it was very entertaining. We all kind of predicted what the end was going to be, but it was still a very good match. And obviously The Rock pinning Cody at the end kind of played into what happened on Monday Night Raw as well. So you're like, okay, the layers storytelling in WWE, we've been seeing it for weeks now, you know, the Triple H era, the Paul Levesque era, where storyline is real, is key, you know, long-term storytelling, you know, the Roman Reigns reign and the way it ended, I'm sure we're going to get onto, like, the entire year-long build, Triple H has done that, and it's just going to get better and better and better, you know, the storytelling that they're doing now is A class. And I've had people over the weekend who are like diehard Attitude Era fans, and they were only watching it every now and again, gone, I just watched WrestleMania, I'm gonna be watching wrestling every week now. Like, a lot more fans are getting into it, so can't wait.
You happy with the match then, Dan? Because it was a bit more, and maybe to be expected, a bit more physical in respect overall. They've kind of been in now. I think for a large part of it, they were more outside the ring than they were in. That might be more to do with the slight limited capabilities that The Rock's got as a full in-ring performer coming back after so long, ring rust. He certainly didn't do much. The one thing I was looking out for, how is his wrestling? Because I remember when he came back and he first faced Cena the first time round, he got the up hand straight away. He was clothesline, he was doing hip tosses, things like that. There was no actual wrestling really from The Rock this time. You know, there was the punches and the kicks. I don't think he suplexed anyone. I don't think he, you know, body slammed anybody. There was no real wrestling. It was more of a grudge match, but that's what it needed to be.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, The Rock ended up winning, finishing the night and pinning Cody Rhodes 1-2-3, which, you know, opens up new avenues, new stories. Like I said, it was the second longest WrestleMania match of all time. It was the biggest tag team match of all time. Absolutely loved it. Really good theatrical storytelling. The crowd were right behind it. I think they were saving their energy for this match. But I really enjoyed it. It kind of set up and made you think like, oh, no, well, Cody can't come back for this. He's going to lose. On night two, it made you think, oh, well, there's nothing that he can do. And it's kind of screwed over Seth Rollins as well. But it told the right story. I think although we've been living this story now for 2-3 years, it kind of started to be like the penultimate chapter of it in the best way possible.
Lovely. And that was night one of WrestleMania Saturday.
Maybe.
Night two kicked off with the return, Jamie, of Stephanie McMahon Helmsley.
She was at the Hall of Fame, I saw it.
Well, I mean, like the on-screen TV character. And yeah, she had a bit of a jazzed up theme as well. I quite liked it.
Yeah, and then she got to steal that line as well by saying, "Are you ready?"
Yes, I was ready. I shouted it back at the screen, "I am ready." Actually, what letter grade would we give specifically for Saturday? I'll give it a C.
Yes, what we said. Joe and I agreed on C earlier.
Oh, Dan?
B.
B, fair enough. Yeah, no, I can see why it's a B. Makes sense. Yep, Stephanie out, kicking off the show. Thanks very much again, that type of thing. And then straight into it with the world...
We wasn't straight into it. We had a national anthem to come in.
We did, yeah, but we're not American. America. The national anthem on night two was better than night one.
Well, it was a different national anthem. It was a different song.
It was, yeah. It was
American Beautiful.
Yeah, it was, yeah, but it was performed better. I can't remember what the couple were called, the man and the woman, but they were very good.
Robson and Jerome.
That'll do. Simon and Garfunkel.
Up on the
deck.
The World Heavyweight Championship of the world. Drew McIntyre challenging the world champion Seth Rollins. Very strong opener. Very entertaining. Slightly upset I am. Slightly upset. We'll get onto that in a moment. I'm just happy that Drew got his moment in front of everybody. He got his moment. He got it in front of the crowd. You could see he was quite emotional, like he meant something to him. And Seth Rollins was quite emotional as well. You know, he's held that title for the best part of a year or so. And I think you could kind of see that almost like a bit of relief. There was definitely emotion on the fact that, you know, he's held the title for a decent year or so. He's been in some feuds, some better than the others. And I think, and certainly based on what I've read, he is now taking a bit of time off. So it was probably just a bit of a weight off the shoulders as well. Think, you know, I've had a very decent match last night in the tag match. I've had a very decent match today as well. I need to go and rest up and then come back fresh into a program later on. But yeah, any other comments for that match, specifically before what happened at the end?
No, I think, you know, the Claymore started off with, and you look to Joe, I was like, what's going on? Is he going to like beat the 18 seconds match between Sheamus and Daniel Bryan?
I was going to say, I thought we were going to have a quick one, yeah.
I thought, hang on, what's going to happen? And you thought, well, the writing's on the wall here. But then you managed to pad a good couple minutes with it. But, it didn't last very long. But with Rollins being injured, you knew that it wasn't going to be a 30-minute Broadway. It was going to be something, probably be all she wrote. But all in all, decent. I think it was high octane. It was exactly what you needed. It meant that Pepsi Phil could get in all of his lines on commentary as well.
It did, and I've never been so happy to be wrong and not get a point, because, of course, I did go for Rollins because I thought, yeah, he's going to retain, but you guys all went with Drew. So you do all get a point. But then, Joe, we had the confrontation between Drew throwing it into CM Punk's face, CM Punk with the attack, and then that music hit.
Yeah, well, obviously, this is a part of the long-term storytelling, because Drew has been criticising Seth Rollins for having his concentration taken away from the World Heavyweight Championship match with getting involved in the Bloodline storyline. And then Drew said, you know, if you don't give 110% in this match, if you come into this match injured and banged up and bruised, I'm going to take full advantage. What did Drew do at the end? He went over to Pepsi Phil, he rubbed it in his face and said, I'm the championship now, like it or lump it. And that ultimately cost him his World Heavyweight Championship.
All he had to do was go backstage, celebrate, go backstage. It would have been cash and happy days, but he had to milk it, didn't he, for 5 minutes.
Ugh. And we've got a new World Heavyweight Champion with Damian Priest. And according to the dirt sheets today, whether you believe it or not, they said that for 6 months, the plan is, it wasn't a last minute decision. The plan 6 months ago was that Damian Priest was going to cash in and win the title at Mania. So take that for what you will, whether you believe it or not, but allegedly that's so. But Jamie, a new world champion. Drew McIntyre held it for 5 minutes and 43 seconds or something like that, he said on Raw, because he said that's 5 minutes longer than you all last in bed, he said to the crowd. But yeah, Jamie, a new world champion in Damien Priest.
I mean, yeah, I told you 6 months ago, just like I told you last week it was going to happen. We said it was like one of those things, he's going to win it, he's going to find it, because all he kept saying was, I'm going to get my moment in front of the fans. And you knew, what was that? What was the reason of CM Punk being there, besides to screw him over? So, you know, he's going to get his moment, and then Damien Priest, especially when they lost the titles, you knew it was happening. So it's not a surprise. It was nice. Obviously, I sent that thing in the chat about obviously putting over the younger talent, Drew McIntyre, in that show. And it turns out Damien Priest is 3 years older than him. But there you go. But no, it's interesting. I don't think it's going to be a long title reign. I do think Drew McIntyre will get his moment at Clash at the Castle, as I originally said last week. He'll win it back then. He'll have his moment in Scotland, like he should have had in his hometown of Wales last year. But at least he'll get it in Scotland.
I just hope they, even if it is only going to be for a couple of months, I just hope they present him as a credible champion, because I'm still not sold on him being the guy who's in, you know, one of the world champions. And Raw didn't do too much for me either, where he was kind of brought out halfway through the show and cut a bit of a promo and just didn't really, yeah, he was almost like a second thought. We know that the main world title is the WWE title, of course it's always going to be, but I almost felt like in the mid-2000s when, you know, Triple H was the World Heavyweight Champion, and then whoever on SmackDown, whether it was JBL, Cena, whoever, I almost felt like the two world titles were, you know, seen on a level playing field, but now one just seems lower than the other. My son's toys are going off again, so apologies if anybody can hear that.
Yeah, but what it does too is it actually makes the Money in the Bank credible again, because obviously you had an Austin Theory holding it, and
yes,
you didn't do anything with it, and then before that you had Otis not do anything, and like the last couple of like Money in the Bank holders and done nothing with it. It almost got to the point, I think I mentioned on this podcast, where like Money in the Bank has kind of become a bit of a joke, and it actually just didn't really mean anything. Him cashing in and winning it is kind of like built up the credibility of kind of like, oh, the Money in the Bank actually does mean something, whereas before, the last couple of years, the last couple of winners have just kind of like made it into a joke.
Yeah, well, as long as they push him, you know, he's presented well. I have no particular issue with the BDSM Undertaker being the champion.
Bisexual Undertaker.
That's the one. Yeah.
The truth said that on Raw as
well. Yeah, it did. Right. I alluded to this one earlier. It had no right being as entertaining as it was, but we had the Philadelphia Street Fight between the Pride and the Final Testament.
A couple of nights. It
was a lot better, and that probably helped with the fact that Bubba Ray Dudley was the special guest referee, and the Snoop of the Dog, Snoop Doggy Dog Dan, was on commentary. What were your thoughts on this one?
I absolutely loved Snoop Dogg being on commentary. I thought it was absolutely brilliant. He brought out his gin and juice. It was sponsored by the gin and juice with Snoop Dogg on commentary.
Can we just say that? Sorry to interrupt. Every match seemed to have a sponsor, and some of them were so that's the one thing I don't like. The one thing I will say about
the arse wipes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that was an ass wipe of a match as well. So that was, if anything, that was quite telling. But the one piece of advertising that didn't bother me, believe it or not, was the Prime bottle, because after a while you just forgot it was there and it didn't really take away from anything. those LED screens on the ring apron, on the ring and around on nearly every match. Terrible, but sorry,
think
Danny,
of how much money that they made on each of those products have been advertised. You know, they made an absolute fortune on it, so you understand why they're doing it. You know, Sonic, the was it Knuckles was on Stand and Deliver staring at Booker T as well, but yet we had Snoop on commentary with his gin and juice, and we had good old Bubba Ray Dudley as a special guest referee. I think if we didn't have those two elements, that match would have been a toilet break match. Nobody would have cared, but because they were involved, they were doing the deadly spots, you know, they're getting the crowd going. It actually made it thoroughly sports entertaining, and I loved it.
And you had a botchamania moment of the table breaking.
I am the table, yes. But luckily, they had time to go up and correct it. And you'll all be happy to know we all got a point, because we all said Bob the Lashes team would win as well. So hurrah for that. But yeah, solid, entertaining. Couldn't have actually asked for more from that type of match, to be fair. And, you know, what's the best thing that could possibly happen now to AOP and Karrion Kross?
Go back to NXT.
Yeah, exactly. They've just been on Mania. Send you straight back down to NXT, just like they were on Tuesday night as well. But let's see what they do with them. LA Knight versus AJ Styles, a match which I thought was good. It was good. I'm not too hot on AJ's new music. I'm not against it as much as some people were.
Did you not want them?
I think it could have been slightly better, but I still enjoyed it. It was still a decent, solid match.
It was just all right, wasn't it? It wasn't anything like spectacular. It was a lot better than I thought it was going to be, because I think we were talking about it on the podcast last week. Like, this storyline's been a bit nerfy. Like, the build up has not been too good, but obviously AJ Styles doesn't really have bad matches, so I think AJ really brought in this match. I think he brought LA Knight up to his level, and it was a lot better than I was expecting it to be. It still wasn't amazing, but
yeah. But Joe, whose right. game is it?
LA Knight.
You said it really, really
We all went for LA Knight. We did, so at least, and the right decision, Dan.
I think it's ultimately the right decision. I mean, AJ Styles can bounce back from it. He can do whatever he wants. But with LA Knight, he is a star on the rise. He's somebody that I could see being a title contender here in 2024. The match was exactly what we needed it to be. It was hard at times, but yeah, decent. Really enjoyed it. And I did enjoy his new theme music. You know, he's had that other music now for almost 10 years. So it's nice to freshen up the image a bit.
Hopefully. Jesus. I don't even know what that was. Jamie was playing something exciting, and I don't even know what it was.
Oh.
Delete!
Yeah! Absolute! Yeah! Delete! Yeah!
Yeah!
There's our copyright infringement. There you go. We've got a strike against ourselves. Delete. Violating the terms and conditions. Jamie,
fine,
I'll stick,
you're okay.
Good. I'll stick with you, though. We had the triple threat match for the United States Championship. I know you were very excited when you saw the Prime bottle, and even more excited when iShow Speed was revealed as in the Prime bottle. I mean, of course he was.
Oh, I'm sorry, iShow Speed, do you show
Speed? Show Speed.
No idea who that man is, but you know, we bark.
He is an American YouTuber.
Randy Orton
and
is going to bark in his face and RKO him straight to hell.
It was a good RKO, that as well.
Well, I mean, I was about to say he was padded, but he weren't, because he ripped him out of the bottle to do it, didn't he? But, yeah. Apparently he's injured, isn't he?
You saw
backstage, and he was there, like, in his little stretcher.
Do you know what they shouldn't have done? They shouldn't have showed Sami Zayn backstage, basically, trying to rile him up like Sami Zayn was for the Intercontinental title match. And they should have had Sami Zayn revealed as in the Prime bottle to, like, attack Logan Paul. That would have been a good idea, but because I thought that's what who it might have been, but then I thought, now they wouldn't have shown Sammy beforehand. Logan Paul ultimately, though, has walked out as the US champ, which, again, I think we all went with, did we not? No,
Joe
went
with
Kevin
Owens. Kevin Owens. And why did you go for Kevin Owens, Joe?
Because he's so
stupid. Let's see if Tammy remembers the reason why. It was the best reason for any match ever. Come on.
Oh, hang on. No, I can't remember why. You'll have to give me a clue.
Where's he from? Where's Kevin Owens from?
Oh, because Backlash is in France.
And Kevin Owens, what's his first language? French.
Yeah, apart from it, the fact it's English, it's first language. But yeah, okay, fair enough. But probably, no, I don't think he's going to be at Backlash. Is he Logan Paul? It'll be at SummerSlam because he's on the poster, obviously. No, I again, I'm impressed every time with Logan Paul. I am. He's very, very good. He's not stupid. He's pretty intelligent when it comes to this because he's doing well for the company. He's getting eyes on the company. And he's doing well for himself and his brand. And I have absolutely no objection with him still being the champion because it makes sense from a business standpoint. It makes sense from a commercial standpoint. And he can face, you know, perhaps Randy or Owens in a singles match again at SummerSlam or whatever they've got.
Or LA Knight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talking with you, yeah.
Apart from Joe, we all got a point there. Any particular comment on that match or would you like to move on?
No.
I was slightly disappointed.
You would
match.
Be.
Only, I mean, obviously Randy's one of my favourites, but I was like, I was expecting like a crazy like Logan Paul moment where I think he's going to like fly and get an, I mentioned it last week, thinking we might see like a crazy RKO. I don't think anything's ever going to top the Seth Rollins RKO, but I was thinking the stuff that Logan Paul's been doing in the ring, he had his moment with Ricochet in the Royal Rumble. I was thinking that he wanted to kind of do something crazy and probably take some wild RKO, but we didn't get it. But maybe he's saving that for France. Who knows? Maybe Germany. Maybe somewhere else. Maybe the SummerSlam.
Saudi Arabia or Scotland.
Maybe Summerfest. Who knows?
We will see. The penultimate match of the night then had Bayley, Joe, being successful in her quest for the WWE Women's Championship in a match which we all got a point for. And again, another solid match where I was very much entertained.
Yeah, again, this is one of those storylines where it should have had more build, but obviously the Bloodline feud has had like the most TV time. So again, it's one of those ones where it's kind of told the stories through like vignettes. And also, as I said, like Io Sky is not, English isn't her first language, so obviously they've had to do like the Sinchke thing where she's cutting a promo in Japanese and they've got the translation underneath it. So the build to this match, I don't think it's been great, and I don't know what it was with this match. I agree with the winner, but I thought the wrestling in this match was substandard, to be honest with you. I thought the Bayley kept doing the ropes punch. She did it like four times, and I know Bayley's a solid wrestler, but I thought it was a bit. I thought the actual wrestling of the match was I don't know. There was something off about it to me.
I didn't notice it, and maybe I'll have to go back and watch it. I didn't notice it like you did. That might just be because I was enjoying the nights more than night one, so I was kind of on a bit of a high, and I knew that the next match as well was the main event, so I was kind of on a bit of a high with it anyway. So interesting comment, and probably something we should go back and have a look at. But I don't know about you, Dan, or you, Jamie, but I'm not as against it as much as I think Joe was. I thought it was quite good.
I loved it. I mean, we got a Royal Rumble winner challenging for the title. You know, it's fighting from the bottom and going to the top. I thought we were going to get more shenanigans from Damage Control, and then we needed people to fight them off. I thought they were going to do more of that sort of angle with it. But, you know, just one against one, see who was the better competitor. And it's Bayley's first ever singles match at WrestleMania, and she's come out the victor. And I think the crowd are really behind her. She had a great image to her. That Egyptian theme entrance as well was absolutely killer. It's the right result. Io Shirai's had it since Money in the Bank in London in, what, August? So it's nice to kind of mix it up. And with all of these, the brand split, you know, the draft coming up, new people coming from NXT, I think it's the right time that we need a new champion, at least on one of the brands in the women's division.
And a point for everybody. Well done.
Crazy about just a little thing about it. It's the first time since 2020 as well that both men and women Royal Rumble winners won the title at Mania.
Oh, brilliant spoiler for the main event. Bloody hell.
There you go.
Speaking of the main event, guys, it's time. It's time. Could he do it? It's made a time. Could he finish the story? God, it was emotional, wasn't it? We're all grown men and women getting emotional over something, but we all had a good idea it was going to happen and something that's
I'm not crying. You're crying.
I'm
going to finish my story.
If we look at the match itself, I'm surprised it took as long as it did for interference to happen. I kind of thought they might get straight into it and just thought, oh, like, I don't know, Solo will be there within the first few minutes. But it was a good while before they started getting involved. But, I mean, circumstances of events, Solo, Sokoa, then one of the Usos, whichever it is. I can't remember.
It was
which
Jimmy
one
and Jay
out.
First.
It was Jimmy, then Jay, yeah, coming out to help.
Then it was Solo.
The spear off, yeah, that's right, sorry, yeah. And then the spear of the Usos off the ramp as well, which was from quite a height and a bit unexpected. I've gone back and watched it a couple of times, and, you know, there wasn't much give with the tables below, so that was quite a decent spot.
Jay had his ribs taped up on Raw.
Yeah.
It, so, yeah.
And then we, of course, had the interference then of Solo, as you said, Jamie. At this point, I said to Jamie, it'll be Cena next if he is making an appearance because of the fact that they had their last match against each other. And that I think that's the only match Solo's won in a year and a half was that match against Cena. He's lost every match since. So, of course, we had Cena come out. The Rock's music hits as he puts Solo through one of the commentator tables. The Spanish announce table, it made a return, and it was on Monday Night Raw as well.
I'll just say as well, like, I don't know if you've picked up on it at all, but obviously the Rock Cena thing, kind of a WrestleMania Hogan Rock vibe there, WrestleMania 18. They had whole looking to the left, looking to the right. They knew what they were doing.
They want thrice in a lifetime. That's
thrice in a lifetime.
We had the Rock Bottom, of course, to that. And then the crowd went absolutely mental. And we all know why the crowd went absolutely mental for the next interference when the music hit. Because I think everybody was slight, even though everybody knew it wasn't going to happen and it couldn't possibly happen, there was almost something like, oh my God, is this actually happening? The Shield music hit, and nobody can lie to me, even if it's only for a split second, people thought, have they somehow got Moxley to appear? Jamie, you're shaking your head. Of course you did.
Somebody said that to me, to me, like, I heard the Shield music, and I thought, have they got Dean Ambrose back? And I was like, well, no, if you know anything about his contract, he signed up to AEW.
No, exactly. So there was no way, but I watched a lot of people react to wrestling on TikTok, on YouTube. Everybody went, oh my God, I thought it was Moxley. I thought Moxley was coming. I thought they'd done something. Of course, it was Seth. And Seth hardly got a show, and he got straight into the ring, and the camera cooked to him really quickly, and Reigns took him out with a Superman punch. And then, of course, we had the chair shot, alluding back to when Seth turned on them originally as well. So, harkening back to the story.
Just quickly before we move on to the next one. Apparently Tony Khan did comment to say that they didn't reach out about Moxley, so
I read that today, which I don't know if that surprises me or not, because the relationship obviously isn't the best between them, especially at the minute with what may or may not happen on Dynamite tonight, but they still don't really want any type of working relationship, do we? And that's not saying that they have to, they are competing companies, but it surprises me that maybe it's just like the WWE did put the feelers out there, because Tony Khan in that interview didn't say, even if they'd have asked me, I'd have said no, or if they'd have asked me, I'd have said yes. But the fact that somebody asked him that question and he was willing to comment on it makes, he's a businessman at the end of the day, and I think he's probably slightly more reasonable than WWE. If they'd have come to him and said, just for tonight, for the sake of a few minutes, can we use Moxley? If indeed Moxley would even be willing to do it, because he might not be, you know, I'm sure Tony Khan would have said, what's in it for me? And something could have happened. So it does surprise me slightly.
Like an AJ Styles versus Omega match or
something. Who knows?
He could have literally just had something like that. It could have been that. You could have Moxley for a night. Can we have somebody for Forbidden Door?
Exactly.
Done.
Exactly. But maybe WWE just didn't want to open up that channel. And again, that's up to them. But we got Seth. And then, of course, we got, well, I think everybody, again, at this point was thinking, here comes Stone Cold. It wasn't. Stone Cold didn't appear. Slightly disappointed, maybe. But we got the gong of The Undertaker. And
there
he was.
I've got a problem with this.
Joe's got a problem that it wasn't the Dead Man. Go on.
Well, I was exactly the same as you. I was like, who's the Rock's biggest opponent? It's Stone Cold Steve Austin. And it's like, God, Undertaker. I'm like, yeah, I know Undertaker's still a legend and everyone's still pop for him. I'm like, the story we're telling, like, it makes no sense for the Undertaker just to turn up. I'm like, he's got no like stock in the Bloodline story.
He's got stock in WrestleMania.
He still has feuds with The Rock. They were still two of the biggest, you know, The Rock, Stone Cold and The Undertaker were the three main stars of the Attitude Era. You know, maybe you want to kind of pull Triple H into that, but The Rock, Stone Cold, Undertaker were. So, you know, he still was. That's a toy. Don't worry, I'm not going mental. But also at the same time, let's not forget, Roman Reigns beat The Undertaker at WrestleMania. So you can bring that into it as well. You know, he was there because whilst he didn't end the streak, he gave The Undertaker his second ever loss at WrestleMania. So there is that element to it. But look, it didn't need to make sense. It was the main event of a clusterfuck of everything that we expected it to be and wanted it to be. And we've spoken about how the fact that Sting and Triple H all those years ago didn't make sense when NWO came out to help Sting when they feuded with him for about 8 years. So it was just WCW and WWE. It didn't need to, but I think there were still some elements of it that did make sense. But guys, I'm, you know, rumbling on here. He did it. He finished the story. Samantha was in tears. Michael Cole was in tears. We have a new WWE champion.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah. And that's the bottom line, because Vince McMahon didn't say so.
Yeah.
Are we happy? Are we happy that it's I'm not happy that it's over, but are we happy that Cody's the champion?
Happy as that toy that keeps going off in the background of your
mind. You know what? You guys, chat amongst yourselves on your thoughts on it. I'm going to throw it out of the window.
What a time to be alive. But no, Cody Rhodes finishing the story. I mean, I want to say that we all predicted it, but Taryn will confirm that when he gets back.
No, I said Roman to win.
My dear lord.
Didn't work.
Yeah, you had a perfect night one, and then you've just messed it up on night two.
I know Vince is gone, but I thought, you know, they're gonna like mess with us here. They're gonna make Cody suffer, and they're gonna like get him to win like the Money in the Bank or something like that. But I'm so glad that I was actually wrong and Roman and Cody did win. I think I said it on a prediction show, I really wanted Cody to win. I just didn't think that he would because of the storyline that went into it. But I think there was something on Raw where they did, they're going to do a documentary on like how they put this together. Like,
Comes out today on YouTube.
Yeah. And they aired a bit of it on Raw. They were like, yeah, so the fan reaction online, so we had to pivot, and then this is how we got into the story. So like, in fact, which is, I don't think something that they've ever done, is like they've actually gone and acknowledged that they've changed the WWE storyline, and they've actually made a documentary on how they changed the storyline. And it's literally, what, like 2 days after the main event of WrestleMania, they're going to wear it. How they fleshed out this main event of WrestleMania.
They did it.
That should be good.
For The Rock.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, they did the WrestleMania with Daniel Bryan at the time. Obviously, they pivoted that way as well. But obviously, no documentary about it. So we'll see how that goes. I'm sure you'll probably be watching it tomorrow because I think it will air early hours in the morning.
You're going to watch WWE Speed first.
Man, I watched the first episode last week.
I just watched Axiom versus JD McDonagh before we started doing the pod.
Who won spoilers?
JD McDonagh.
Oh, did he?
I think he's going to get it. Can you imagine him in the Judgment Day without Speed title?
For Christ. Was it Dragon Lee and Ricochet, the first one? I watched that. It was all right.
And then Bronson Reed against Cedric Alexander was the other one.
There we go. Well, we've got Cody Rhodes as a new champion on Raw afterwards. The Rock basically said, I'm going away for a bit, but your story with Roman is over, but your story with me is just beginning. There's rumours that they're going to be facing each other at WrestleMania 41. Who knows if it's going to drag on that long. It may still yet be SummerSlam or Survivor Series, but I suppose Mania makes sense.
It'll be interesting because obviously you've got Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns, but the whole thing about it was supposed to be Rock and Roman wanting to have that moment together at WrestleMania. So I don't know if The Rock's got that much left in him, but is that now going to be WrestleMania 42? Like a year after, maybe Roman cost Rock the match at 41, sets them up for 42.
I mean, I'm not saying it will happen, and if I had to put money on it now, a year beforehand, I would hope Cody would beat The Rock. But who knows if, you know, The Rock wins the title off Cody and beats him, does that?
Yeah, they'll have the title this time next year.
Well, I would assume Cody would still be champion of the year, but you don't know. Yeah, Reigns is going to win it back.
You had Roman Reigns like having that title for so long, Seth Rollins having it for so long. I know, obviously, you want to have that credibility, and I know sometimes you shit on it all about being a hot potato title, but sometimes you need that excitement over that anything can happen, anyone can win this title. If you've got a champion for so long, you knew Roman Reigns is always going to retain it until this Cody Rhodes match. So yeah, it's kind of like, if you've got Damian Priest now, he could go into any match and lose that title. I don't have a lot of faith in him retaining in most matches. So, again, Cody Rhodes, like, you've had like 1,316 days for Roman Reigns having that title. Like, I assume in the next 1,316, we're going to have like at least 5 to 10 title changes within that time.
At least.
Just Cody Rhodes' title.
You would hope so.
Not Damian Priest, just Cody Rhodes' title. But unless maybe that one is the one that's just going to stay with somebody for a year. And then maybe Damian Priest is the one that's going to be hot potato a little bit. But you need that excitement sometimes of, oh, anything can happen. This is why you need to tune in. Whereas if you've got the same guy being the champion for 3 years, as great as it was and unprecedented, I don't think Cody Rhodes will ever beat it, or I don't think it'll ever be beaten within the next 20 to 30 years. We need that unpredictability. And I think that's one thing that WWE lacks, which maybe now we're in this Paul Levesque era, we might have a little bit more unpredictability of anything can happen. Mankind winning the title on Raw. Who would have thought? Well, Eric Bischoff said, well, it's Tony Schiavone. Anyway, if you think you want to turn over right now, you got that guy who used to be in our company, Cactus Jack. Yeah, that's going to put some bums in seats. And everyone turned over to watch it. But that was just a moment in Raw history, wasn't it? So hopefully we'll see a little bit more over there. Title changes. Obviously, Cody Rhodes will be a fighting champion. We're going to see more title defenses. Still, none of them are the working champion like Orange Cassidy is, because he's got more defenses than all of them combined. But, you know, it's fine.
There we go. Right. Well, we'll see how everything all goes. But that was mainly, give us your grading specifically for WrestleMania Sunday, guys. I will go with A.
I said A, yeah.
A minus. A minus, B plus is fair.
Well, what did you say, Joe?
I said A minus, B plus. So A minus, yeah, go A minus.
So I'm going to give the overall event an A minus.
I'm A minus, yeah.
B plus. Overall, B plus. I'll be generous.
Joe, overall?
B plus, yeah.
B plus. Well, as we all knew, both Jamie and Joe were B plus players all along. We all know it. And just before we finish off with our quiz, it will be wrong of us to not mention that there were some teasers on Raw during the commercial break in the arena and during the promo for Bronson Reed. It looks like Uncle Howdy himself, the teasers have begun. Even more so that if you freeze frame it at the bottom right hand corner, it said the word hello. And we all know that another word for howdy is hello. So if he returns, I will be calling him Uncle Hello. So that's just what we want to do.
Just one thing though, Taryn, before you rudely went on to Raw, what were the final prediction scores? And what is the
final prediction scores? And here Joe messed up mine
too. And I think we're all tied. All three of us are tied, I'm pretty sure.
Are you? Well, you're wrong. Because we have, I am sat, as always, as it should be, at the head of the table on 24 points. Jamie's on 23 points.
Ooh.
Joe is on 22 points and Dan is on 21 points. There is a point in it all the way through.
Are you sure about that?
I am. I've added it all up. You can add it all up. However, technically, maybe I should be on 25 points with the Bronson Reed prediction, but I've not. That was a bit of fun.
You insisted, Rick.
I haven't given it to myself. I haven't. But right, we've got off far too long. Let's quiz it. What have you got for us, Dan?
Yeah, so we're going to stick on WrestleMania. It's not from the Beano, don't worry. And we're not going to try and guess if they're a real or fake wrestler. We're going to go on to a celebrity WrestleMania quiz. So this is all about celebrities that have appeared at WrestleMania.
Go for it.
So they're not going to be obscure, like the linebacker for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers or something rubbish like that. They're proper celebrities.
That was the New York Giants, the one that turned up on WrestleMania. He had that match, didn't he, Taylor?
Yeah. I mean, they're pretty much having all of the NFL there at the moment. But we'll start with your question, number one. Who was Diesel's valet in his WWF title defense against HBK?
Which WrestleMania was that?
Just so you can Google it.
Yeah.
No, I'm trying to remember who it was. Shawn Michaels versus
Diesel. So I kind of guess. I knew the two women. I can't remember. I'm sure Shawn.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll just put one, but I know it's probably it's going to end up being Shawn Michaels valet. So I put the wrong one, but go on.
Number two. Do you know Regis Philbin?
I do. Okay, yes.
He was the American presenter of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
That's how correct.
I remember him. He was the guest interviewer and commentator at which WrestleMania?
Okay.
You've got 40 of them to choose from.
Yeah, we'll go with that. Has to be
number
early.
Three. Who faced Roddy Piper in a boxing match at WrestleMania 2? Joe Frazier was in his corner.
Yeah, we know that one. Good. We're on a roll now. We're on a roll.
Oh. Number four. Which Disney legend was a guest timekeeper at WrestleMania 9?
Oh.
Which Disney legend? WrestleMania 9.
It's wrong, but it's the only legend I can think of. I was going to put Simba. We'll put Simba.
What? The mattress? Number five. Which NFL star won the 24/7 title at WrestleMania 36?
I don't want to fall off that platform.
Number six. Who did Bad Bunny and Damian Priest face at WrestleMania 37?
I can't remember, it was even that long ago. Bad Bunny and Damian Priest.
Yeah, they tagged together. They faced the tag team. What tag team did they face?
Oh,
you have to get both names for a point.
Okay, I'll just put...
Cool. Number seven, who managed Jake the Snake Roberts, at WrestleMania 3 when he faced the Honky Tonk Man? So, who managed Jake Roberts at WrestleMania 3 when he faced the Honky Tonk Man?
The Honky Tonking Man.
The Honky Tonking Man.
I feel like I should know these. I'm disappointed.
You should know these.
It's late, very famous
celebrity. My grandmother's actually played golf with this man. I know.
Oh, wow.
Number eight. At which Manias? Sorry, I'm having to read my spelling. I've written it.
Recently. He doesn't even
at
know.
Which Manias did Aretha Franklin sing at? So she sung at two of them. She sang America the Beautiful. Can you tell me what numbers that she sang at?
Yes, I can. Not. I think I know.
I had to pause then because for some reason I wrote Aretha Franklin really close together.
Oh dear.
I know.
Aretha Franklin.
Aretha Franklin. Was it the first woman to be inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
No one knows.
Yeah. Number nine. Which celebrity was in the prime bottle at WrestleMania 40? Somebody said it earlier, I think.
I think they did. It was Jamie's favourite. We've already established that.
And number 10. This one is worth, I don't know whether to say 5 or 6 points. I'll call it 5 points. So Snoop Dogg has been involved in 5 WrestleManias. But what 5 roles has he done at these WrestleManias? So Snoop Dogg's been involved in 5 Manias, but what roles has he played? So in one WrestleMania, he actually did two roles. And there's one that's very obscure. So I would just write something random down, you know, like was a truck driver, for example, which isn't one, but think of a wrestler.
A valet.
And that's fine. And
think of something, a celebrity would do at a WrestleMania. And if you're not sure, take a guess.
Right, that's fine. Yep, done that. I've put five things down. Oh, I have put five things down.
Okay, number one, who was Diesel's valet for the WWF title defense against HBK Shawn Michaels? Joe?
Pablo Anderson.
Taran?
I put Sonny, but I'm assuming that was Shawn Michaels, even if it was.
Jamie?
No, Shawn Michaels was Jenna Jameson. Diesel's was Pamela Anderson.
You're right. It's Pamela Anderson. Number two, Regis Philbin was a guest interviewer and commentator at which WrestleMania, Taran?
It'd be two or three, won't it? So I'll put two.
Jamie?
I went for 21.
Joe?
Jesus. 16.
Nope, WrestleMania 7.
Oh.
Fair enough.
It'd be two or three, WrestleMania 7.
Who faced Roddy Piper in a boxing match at WrestleMania 2? Jamie?
Mr. T.
Joe?
Mr. T.
Taran.
I pity the fool. Whoever gets it wrong, it was Mr. T.
It was the Mr. T. Number four, which Disney legend was the guest timekeeper at WrestleMania 9? Joe?
Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Jamie?
I have no idea who's a Disney legend, so I'd went for Walt Disney, even though he's dead.
And Taran.
Jonathan Taylor Thomas. Why don't, is he not in Home Improvement?
What?
I didn't
Tim
even
Allen.
Know.
I'm going for Tim
if
Allen.
That is Jonathan Taylor Thomas. I didn't even know he was a Disney legend. I have no idea, so I went for it. I thought definitely
Disney
wrong.
Legend. If it's
yeah.
What did you write down?
I put Dick Van Dyke.
Voice of Simba.
Yeah, if you wrote Simba, I would have given you a point for it because the voice of Simba is Jonathan Taylor
Thomas. You are joking. Oh, no.
Honestly, if you put Simba down, I wrote Jonathan Taylor Thomas / Simba.
He is in Home Improvement. He's one of the kids in Home Improvement. Oh, my God. Why did I not just laugh and put Simba as a joke? Because I literally would have got a point by default.
You would have.
Oh.
I thought you got it. I thought you gave it away to him then.
No, I just genuinely didn't even know he voiced him.
Number five, which NFL star won the 24/7 title at WrestleMania 36? Taran.
Gronk.
Joe.
Gronk.
I know Jamie's got it.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers tight end, Robert Gronkowski.
It was the Gronk.
Number 87.
Who did that Bad Bunny and Damian Priest face at WrestleMania 37? Taran.
I don't know. I genuinely can't remember. So I put The Miz and blank.
You don't know who The Miz teams with?
Not back then. I didn't know.
Guess. He's held the tag titles with about four people.
You're giving him a point.
But what year was it?
Stop it.
4 years ago. 3 years ago.
I genuinely, my mind's blank now. I'll just have to go with The Miz. And, yeah, I don't know.
Joe.
Miz and Morrison.
Was it really?
It was John Morrison.
I forgot Morrison came back. Well, I'll have a point.
No, you don't get a point for that. You only get a point if you get.
Well, I thought you said it was a point for each person.
No, I said you only get. You have to get a point.
He didn't say that.
You can go back and listen to it. I said you have to get both for a point. That's why I gave you a chance. And you said, no, I don't know. So you don't get any points, I'm afraid.
Oh, dear.
So who managed Jake Roberts WrestleMania 3 against the Honky Tonk Man? Let's go, Jamie.
Alice Cooper.
Joe.
Alice Cooper.
Taran.
I don't know. Seve Ballesteros.
Vincent Vinier himself, Alice Cooper.
There we go.
Number 8. At which of these manias did Aretha Franklin sing America the Beautiful? Joe.
2 and 3.
Jamie.
I went for 3 and then, 25.
Oh,
Taran.
I went for 3 and 30 because of the anniversary.
So if you put 3, you get a point.
Yeah.
And the other one is 23.
Oh, come on.
So you were close. Number 9, which celeb was in the prime bottle at WrestleMania 40? Joe?
KSI.
What? Jamie.
How speed?
And Taran?
I show speed.
Yeah, because we literally said it earlier. I show speed.
And I remember speed.
Snoop Dogg has been involved in 5 manias, but what roles has he played? Joe, go on, what have you written down? What 5 things has he done at Mania?
Special guest referee, commentator, he was the host, and he was a valet booked Sasha Banks down to the ring. The other one,
I'm more or less put the same, but I put commentator for this year, a special ref. I don't know if he was, but I just put that. I can't remember. He definitely did the Sasha Banks entrance with on the golf cart. He was guest host last year, and I also put wrestler because he wrestled last year impromptu in that when he wasn't supposed to because Shane McMahon got injured.
Yeah, and Jamie, anything more?
No, so I had wrestler, commentator, guest referee, guest host, and then special ring announcer.
Yes, you close. There's a few of you had a few points. So he was the guest commentator this year.
Yeah.
In 39, he was both the host and he faced the Miz. You can have host and you can have wrestler, each of his point. At number 32, you got it right. He sang Sasha Banks' entrance. So he stepped into the ring singing the song. At 27, he was in a backstage segment with Teddy Long, so he didn't really do anything in that one. He was just backstage. And at WrestleMania 24, he was the master of ceremonies in the Bunny Mania match.
The Bunny Mania? That's why I can't remember.
Special guest ring announcer, but it's fine.
Master of ceremonies.
Yeah. Holla, holla, you know. Four for that. What, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8. I got 8 points.
I think you should just call me Ty Dillinger.
Right.
Oh.
9 and 10. There we go. Well, a point to Jamie. And that means Jamie is now leading the quiz. We have Dan on 2, Joe yet to get off the mark. I'm on 3, and Jamie takes the lead with 4. Good quiz, that.
Thank you.
Good one. Dan, where can everybody find us on the socials?
Yes, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, X, and Threads. We are Grapple Cast Show. More importantly, you can find us wherever you get your podcasts. Again, we're Grapple Cast Show. Make sure you like, rate, and subscribe so you never miss an episode.
Lovely. Well, wow, that was a nice bumper episode, but that was our thoughts on WrestleMania XL. It was extra large, it was indeed. And I think we could all agree, after all of our comments, especially from Dan, that was the greatest WrestleMania of all time. Jamie, if you would like to sign us off.
Yeah, I mean, I guess without further ado, I bid you a goodbye, a good night, then, now, and forever.
Ta-ra, guys.
Ring the bell!
Ring the bell!